will follow the same process as we did the last time, because we are dealing with a bill and we have to make sure that we agree with what is in the bill, job by job. And we will then allow the department to take us through.
Chairperson, we have left briefly that we do not have the third legal opinion that you spoke of last week for the committee. I was fortunate to work slightly, because I also received this very late, the two legal opinions. And to me, they are just enormous, because here we never received a written legal opinion. We had two opinions that were received verbally. And it is on the basis of the two written opinions that the committee will decide whether we are seeking a third, you know, or opinion. Because at the time when they were here, the verbal opinions that they gave us were different. That is why the chair of chairs said that if it goes that way, we will have to seek a third legal opinion. But since they have reached a consensus and they are going to give us a verbal legal opinion, it's only on them that we can decide whether we want to go for a third legal opinion or not. I think I'm clear.
Now, Chairperson, last week we were told that the Speaker's office is seeking a third legal opinion on the matters that arose, that we differed on. And that is why I'm asking. We were told that we'll have a third legal opinion, and it's on the same matters that we have the two legal opinions, the views of those two entities or people. Now you come and you say, only after, or whatever happens today with the presentation of the two legal opinions, we will have a third legal opinion. This was not. If you check the minutes, and I remember very correctly, and that is why we agreed that with a third legal opinion that comes to this committee, we will decide. That is what you said last week.
Honorable Lamola, you are not wrong. You are right. But I think I've made it clear that the two opinions that we received the last time were not in writing, and I was advised that the third opinion is based upon the written, I want to underline that, written legal, you know, opinion. In which case, at that time, we did not have a written legal advice, we had verbal one. Can we proceed, please?
As introduced in the National Assembly Proposed 1675,
later summary of bills bill published in Government Gazette, and that's the English text, is the official text of the bill. Minister of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, bid 2013. Bill to give effect to Section 9 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1996, insofar as the empowerment of women and gender equality is concerned, to establish a legislative framework for the empowerment of women to align all aspects of laws and implementation of laws relating to women empowerment and the appointment and representation of women in decision-making positions and structures.
I just wanted to know whether she should not just go directly to the section, yes, that we're debating. I think we had agreed on the other section.
We'll deal with section 7 too after. I just want to address the under section clause 8A, page 14, with inserted decision making. Page 15, clause 9, 2A and B. Within their ambit of responsibility in the law and implement plans
designated as a recording with subsection 1 within 3 years of being designated. Clause 10, subsection 2, also in page 18.
Thank you.
again. 3 on page 25. A fine payable in terms of this section must be paid into the National Revenue Fund referred to in section 213 of the Constitution. I think now we can go back to section 13. This way the other general changes.
Also prepared an opinion in response to the verbal views that were expressed in this committee. In our response, Chairperson, like I have indicated, I said there are no rights in the Constitution which is absolute, all the rights are subject to the limitation clause. And I will start my response by section 9(1) of the Constitution in response to my opinion. In terms of section 9(1) of the Constitution, everyone is equal before the law and has the right to equal protection and benefit of the law. Equality includes the full and equal enjoyment of all rights and freedoms. With emphasis on this one, to promote the achievement of equality, legislative and other measures designed to protect or advance persons or categories of persons disadvantaged by unfair discrimination may be taken. Chairperson, in our view, I'm not the Constitutional Court. I cannot say the right is, the allegations made, they are found, they are valid. It will be determined by the Constitutional Court
and when the court determines whether a section is infringed or whether it is a justifiable limitation of that right, they look at a two-pronged inquiry. The court, when they decide whether a right is infringed, they ask a question whether a right in the Bill of Rights has it been violated. That's the first inquiry that the court establishes. And if that right has been violated in a law, then the second inquiry is whether the right, the limitation is reasonable and justifiable under Section 36. And when they're doing that, they look at the objectives of the Act. What does the Act seek to do? And also the court My short view on this will be to look into the objectives of the women empowerment guided by Section 9(2) of the Constitution, because this bill is informed by that section. It seeks to protect and to advance the categories of persons who are advantaged by unfair discrimination. So on that basis, Chairperson, I believe that if it is established that that right has been infringed, the right of political association and also the political rights under Section 90, if it is established that indeed this is the case, so that right may be justified under Section 36, especially if you look at the objective of the Constitution, which is set out under 9(2), because I believe the Women Empowerment Bill serves a legitimate government purpose and also it would meet the requirements.
Clause 7, subsection 2,
It is not clear how the minister will enforce non-compliance by the registered political parties, as political parties do not fall under any of the categories of a public body or private body. Therefore, I recommend that the committee should consider this clause with a view to amending it. The conclusion by the parliamentary legal opinion. Their conclusion, they say, in our opinion, clause 7, subsection 2 of the bill would potentially infringe on the rights of political parties as enshrined in section 18 and 19 of the Constitution. Moreover, it is our opinion that the aims of section 7, subsection 2 of the bill can be achieved through less restrictive means, including the code of good conduct contained in section 2 to the Electoral Act and section 9, subsection 2 of the Constitution.
He's coming with a suggestion. He's saying there are less restrictive means to achieve the purpose, and he's suggesting that the Electoral Act is already covering the same objective. So I just want to come here and just to clarify. If I may. Because we all, this committee wants to achieve one objective. And if there is an alternative or something that will solve the concern, that will address the concern, then we might follow that route. It's item 6 of the Code of Conduct. And I'm going to read it. It says every registered party and every candidate must, paragraph B, facilitate the full and equal participation of women in the political activities. And then paragraph D also, take all reasonable steps to ensure that women are free to engage in any political party. So this is set out in a code of conduct. That if there is a breach of a code of conduct, then someone may take that complaint with an electoral court. So it would seem that there are measures in place to enforce this. But however, Chairperson, I want us, when we consider this, to be guided by this bill. What does that this bill seek to do? Is the word, the phrase political parties, because the main in paragraph B is to facilitate equal participation of women in political parties. And what section 7 2 seeks to do is to obliged to compel the political parties to also strive to achieve as a minimum at least 50% representation and with emphasis in decision making positions and structures. So what I want this committee to understand or to clarify is the political activities, because this code of conduct is talking about equal participation of women in political activities. If political activities is covering the interests of women in terms of representation in boards, in structures, then we would say you are covered under this code of conduct.
I think based on what the two speakers spoke to, we might actually need the said opinion still, a constitutional attorney or, you know, constitutional legal advisor or whoever, you know, a constitutional court level. And the state law advisor, the conclusion spoke to amendments. So I'm not sure amendments in terms of exclusion of the word political parties or amendments in terms of replacing the word itself, if she can just explain to us. And then she talks to item 6, code of conduct. Woman, my take is that equal participation of women might not necessarily be 50%. It might mean that the women who are in that party must have equal participation. They must be equal participation
fantastic.
In terms of having input, not being, you know, sort of discriminated to say they're not participating because they're women. You know, it's ambiguous. It might be 50% or equal participation in terms of giving input. So I think it still takes us to the same cycle or starting point of saying my own opinion is that we need the third opinion from the constitutional court level in terms of everything that has been said.
Not a legal person, and both of these opinions that we have in front of us are in some sense conflicting. The one is saying this, the other one is saying that. We do not have a clear view on what this committee needs to proceed with or how this committee needs to proceed. It is the committee that needs to take this decision on this vote. And we do not have a constitutional view or opinion on this section. Can we, I'm really begging with you, can we please not try and push this through or hurry this thing through and get the third legal opinion as promised last week to clear all of us of what we need to do and do the right thing? I cannot see, Chairperson, how we can proceed knowing that we really need a third clear legal constitutional opinion on this matter to proceed. And that is what I'm begging of you. And I wanted to know.
I'm suspecting that when we discuss, every now and then we do refer to our legal advice and state law advice.
Yes.
Maybe there's no point that some of you don't need that. But unfortunately, they do have not the same understanding about this problem. Some of us, we know what we want to be put in this bill. We are still maintaining that without giving a restriction or strict measures that each and every party must strive to get what this clause is saying. But the third contribution from both the legal advice and state advice, they were saying that they do have a compromise vision. And if I can get clear that compromise vision, but as I'm sitting here, there's no way that as South Africans, when being political parties, that we won't want that this 50%, you must strive for 50%. We've said it's not going to be overnight 50%. We're saying that we started to make from 30%, but we have clauses and measures that we have put in the bill that for certain periods. So if that legal gurus can put on this clause that we do strive to have 50%. We're not compromising about that, but the way of putting that in the bill on according to the law. But the third vision, we didn't say to now the third opinion. We didn't say that we want third opinion. It was the same structure that we are saying that please let's wait for the third opinion. The third opinion is not here. We're here as COMIT, and we do have an interest that we must see in this bill that something must happen of ensuring that if 50% we must try to get it. So we're listening when other members are contributing. It's not right when we are putting the rules. There are people who are grumbling. It's disturbing. We've been listening tentatively, but when we're contributing, some of us, they will be grumbling. It's not right. So I'm saying that I'm putting on the table that if these two legal gurus, they must assist us, that they must try to have that compromising version, that it must be within the limit of law or constitution, but we must try to put in this 50%, striving to get it.
One of the questions. Okay, come in. Jefferson, I don't know. I think I'm a little bit confused, and I was not part of the meeting because as I'm listening to the two legal I heard that they had the consensus. Now, can they just tell us, or maybe, what is their consensus so that we can take it from there? And also, as I also read these two legal documents, for me, it seems that this is maybe there is some lack. I can say we need this test legal opinion. Maybe if they can tell us the consensus, and then we can listen to it. Maybe we can take it from there. Maybe the consensus can assist. If not, really the technical opinion can come in. Maybe we'll be very much clear if someone can make us clear. Thank you.
The legal advisors, if they could just because they said that, you know, they use some consensus, and then there was also a question about amendment. The committee may amend. You can explain where the committee possibly can amend.
Thank you. Is the view of the Legal Services Office of Parliament that item 6 of the Code of Good Conduct covers the concerns in clause 7.2 of the bill and is enforceable also by the electoral court, and are measures that can be taken. There are fines and a whole range of certain restrictions placed on the political party. That is the view of the Legal Services Office, and it is for the committee to make the decision on whether they think that is appropriate or what they would like to achieve with the clause. I'll give it over to my colleague on the issue of the amendment that she mentioned in her legal opinion.
Chairperson, as I've indicated, the item 6, I don't believe that it is going to achieve the same objective as intended in this bill. And upon listening, I was listening to the input from members on this part, and then what I could gather is the phrase political activities is brought, and it would mean that women must be heard, they must make inputs, but it doesn't say they must participate in a decision-making position or a structure. It doesn't mean that they must hold certain positions, which is what is intended in terms of the women empowerment bill. It's about equal and fair representation of women. So I don't believe this will achieve, as it stands, it is part, it's not clear whether it includes the women. Coming to my opinion, Chairperson, as a way forward, because it would appear that we've got two conflicting views. The Legal Service of Parliament says it limits the rights in the Constitution and it's not a reasonable limitation. And we say, yes, it might appear to limit, it might appear to violate those sections, but however, we believe that for the same objective, which is set out in Section 9.2 of the Constitution, that limitation is not unreasonable. But as a way forward now, we also propose that the section may be amended also as a measure of caution, because there was a concern raised. I was looking at section, one thing I need to also unpack is the political parties. There are the political parties, they receive funding in terms of the IEC legislation, and also there are measures in place in terms of that legislation. So what I was going to propose, since we've got the formulation in section 9, in clause 9 of this bill, that maybe we can borrow and remove from section 7.2 the wording that compels the political parties to achieve that 50%, and use the wording from section 9. Section 9, clause 9, page 15, it says, despite any other law, targets for women in all laws and policies on empowerment shall be at least 50%. And it goes further, talking about the development also of plans and measures to align laws and policies, you know, in order to achieve the 50%. So since the political organizations, they are, I'm not saying, I don't want to say they are regulated by the IEC, but they are also, they are on the basis of receiving the funding from the IEC, it would appear that the relevant minister to enforce compliance, especially on the basis of clause 9.1, that puts obligations on the designated body to achieve the 50% in laws and policies. If we can have a similar wording in clause 7.2, because clause 9 is talking of the empowerment, whereas 7 is talking about the representation in decision making process. If we can borrow that wording, we can draft something which is talking of the achievement of 50% in laws and policies. Thank you.
I think I will draw it. I want to support the state law advice. Maybe if they can advance and assist ministers to draw up this compromise amendment. Thank you. Because I think, Chair, we are within our rights as members of Parliament to debate these issues and take decisions, of course informed by our legal or law advisors. And I don't think really we should be looking for a third opinion for the sake of a third opinion. That is just a delaying tactic, Chairperson. And if the legal learned persons here amongst us can draft something that will meet the object of this bill, but also will not compromise the constitution, I agree with the state law advisor that no right in the constitution is absolute. All rights are subject to a limitation, and the court will look whether the Bill of Rights is violated or not. And in terms of women's rights and the equality clause of the Bill of Rights, women's rights are violated in some cases. And as the Honorable Mure was saying, equal participation, mhlawumbe itheta ukuthi omama bakhona benza amakhiye khona la. Bayachanyela, bayadastisha, does not mean that they are there when decisions are made. The object of this bill will not be met by this code of conduct, because here we are enacting a target of the minimum 50% representation of women. So I would first ask the legal advisors and state law advisor to assist us draft a way forward. Thank you.
Minister, in a political party, I can't be dancing and making tea unless we really go, we need to go much deeper and finer in details to say who's doing what in a political party. So the other thing, I'm not sure what is the opinion of the legal services office in terms of what the state law advisor spoke to, borrowing clause 9.1, by any other law target, because for me, as long as we have that 50%, it means the same. But let's see and hear how you're going to construct it, and then we'll take it from there. But for me, as long as there's a word political party and there's 50%, it means the same. But I'll wait to hear and see how you construct it in terms of borrowing from clause 9 to clause 7. Okay, thank you.
Let me tell you, I am not busy with any delaying tactics whatsoever. But I'm not going to, number one, make a fool of myself where constitutional rights are concerned, and I do not know constitutional court. And that is the reason why I say, why can we not, then answer me, why can we not have a legal opinion from a constitutional legal side, to at least put us on the right track with this ball, on the whole thing, on the whole. You know, I spoke on duplication several times, and I was told we are not duplicating. Chairperson, for the whole of last weekend, I really sat with the thing, and I realized that we are duplicating. And that is why I'm saying, it was mentioned, one lady mentioned here, duplication in the one legal opinion which they speak of the Electoral Act. we are duplicating on the electoral act now. In wanting to fix it how we want it. The only reason why I say get a third legal opinion, we do have two conflicting opinions here. We are not sure. Here we're taking out of section 7 to fall onto section 9, which tells me that we did not do proper homework on this. And that makes me worry, Chairperson, and what I'm now going to say, I'm going to be disliked forever, Anna. Why do we want to push this through? We all want empowerment for women. But you notice last week I read in the New Age, as we were sitting in that last meeting, about two widowed women, and I think it's in the KZN province, that are widowed for less than a year. They cannot cook food at the school. The community told them they must go. They're doing this to put food on their table. Now, if we can't even do empowerment for women in a simple and single manner, and the minister spoke on that they had all the traditional people together and they spoke about the bill, they sorted things out, it's still happening. How? That's only one of the many examples. How are we ever going to empower women? Not through legislation, because this is not going to be with them in their homes. This is not going to be with them in their workplaces, Jeff. I can assure you that. So please, Jeff, and I want to reiterate, a third legal opinion cannot do any damage. Are we legal gurus here? Do we really know what to do? It is because we do not know. And the question that I really need to ask, why can we then not have a third legal opinion?
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I am a member of Parliament, and I thank you for letting me input. I'm concerned, and our party is concerned, that obviously our freedom of choice, our democracy, the fact that people can vote for who they want to vote for is a very important thing to all of us. And in a sense, that we're kind of taking away from women the right to vote for whoever they want to vote for. And then parties are going to have to take people's votes on who they want to represent them, and then manipulate that and say, no, it doesn't matter you voted for this person, we're pushing this person. So to us, it's completely undermining that freedom. But what's worrying me more is that there was a constitutional challenge once with a choice of termination of pregnancy amendment. And that not only did that hold up the legislation and the implementation of other parts of things for the longest time, it was extremely costly for Parliament. Quickly, sorry, in terms of our budget, and so a constitutional challenge will be problematic for us as an institution. And if we can avoid that, I would just appeal to avoid that.
Yeah.
And in that, I'm saying that the word caution was mentioned there, and just that two of number seven, removing that is the best caution that we could bring into play in this situation. Obviously, we all want, at the end of the day, us to move in that direction. But we don't, and we all want to resist things being imposed on us and us being forced into what we're not ready for.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I think we are all here to make contributions, to give our opinion. But sometimes, you know, it surprises one when some of the, you know, are ignored here. Because even though there are, you know, you can go to Devon taking different directions and you'll reach there. And I think that's exactly what the law, the state law advisor and the legal advisors are doing. They are talking different terms, but they are going to the same place. Hence, the state law advisor says the committee can amend, in which case he shares her opinion, and the legal advisor also, which for me comes to the same. And it also puzzles me, you know, to say that as political parties, we cannot be
bound by
his ideas, Raymond.
Yes, one really understands that political parties are voluntary associations. But don't you think they cease to become voluntary the minute they receive government funding? They come to parliament. There are not political parties out there volunteering. Yes, they volunteer. But the minute they become public bodies when they come to parliament, and they receive government funding, and they receive salary from government, and here we come and say we are voluntary, you know, meaning that you know paying double standard, you know, as a political party, in my view. And it goes on to say that. What is it, you know, we want to achieve? Given the objective of this bill, and it's so clear it goes through the objective, what is it that we want to achieve? And when I said to the committee last time that it was not my fault, because the legal advisor went to the chair of chairs and he called me to say that we will seek a third legal opinion. But he asked me whether we have those opinions in writing, and I said no. And he said, well, let them present the legal opinions in writing, and it seems to be on the basis of those written legal opinions that we'll take our decision. And this is exactly what we are doing.
Page 15, 9. And our recommendation or suggestion as a way forward would be to remove 7-2 and remain with 9. If you read at 9, I'm going to analyze it now. 9-1 says, despite any other law, target for women in all laws and policies on empowerment shall be at least 50%. And also, if you look at the heading, it's measures to empower women and to eliminate discrimination. So going back to 7-2, the objective for the 50% representation in decision-making structures and bodies for the political parties, it was to empower women, it was to eliminate discrimination. That's how we see it. So we believe, Chairperson, without having 7-2, 9 as it stands, it covers the concern without mentioning political parties or whatever. So we believe the same objective will be achieved in terms of enforcing this provision. The minister will enforce this provision. He's going to receive measures and plans that will align. I'm going to go read further. Utu goes further to say the designated public bodies and the designated private bodies must develop and implement plans and measures to align their laws and policies. So we believe the same objective will be achieved by the respective ministers will align their laws and policies, and in this regard we've got to it. We're talking of EIEPA. So we believe the same objective would be achieved without having rules from the minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with my colleague that by removing 7.2 and keeping section clause 9, then read together also with the electoral act, well then, because what it basically says is that target remains an aim in terms of how it basically gives more flesh to the code of conduct or the electoral act, without being very prescriptive.
Some of these laws have been there for centuries, for years.
They have not changed the lives of women. This is why we're here to come with this act, which will assist us, enforce the empowerment and the promotion of the rights of women and girls in South Africa. Thank you, Chairperson. We will agree as a compromise with the recommendation of the law advisors, even though we had our own proposal, but we will back down, and for the purpose of progress, we will support what has been recommended. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now the year has been under attack. I think ours are also off what I want to say. That this department for 5 years did not see the implementation of existing legislation. If it was done, Chairperson, would we have been sitting with a bill like this now? Because then, in all honesty, we would have been able to present audited reports on what we did in oversight, number one. Number two, this party is not looking at minority or their own interest, not at all. But this party is looking at the democratic rights of each and every individual, not of a certain component that wants to override and say. And though the minister says it's not because of a party, I think it is because. You know, Chairperson, it seems to me that in Afrikaans we say the last strooi halm waar aan hierdie departement kan vashou, that they can cling to the last bit of helpline that they can cling onto is by switching this bill through as soon as possible, so that they can be there again for the next 5 years. Seeing that the failures of the past 5 years are so huge, where they could not even reach their own target set, how on earth can they still implement a bill like this? Knowing that the Department of Labor,
I think Lamona is out of order. Lamona, I think Lamona is out of order. Yes.
Order. Could not reach their target set within.
So I
think we cannot get personal. If we want to do that, we can do that. And to for the sake of the member that never
there's a point of order.
We in the DA have been speaking on this 50%
on a point of order, Chairperson. On a point of order, Chairperson. Chairperson, on a point of order, if this honourable member knew her job, she has a responsibility of oversight. She has a responsibility to ensure that the laws and policies of this government are implemented. She has failed. Hopeless.
I think the one is you that are
in
the
head
of the government.
Can you give direction? We can't go on like this. Can you give a ruling? We cannot talk to each other. Please, Chairperson.
The members, the honourable members, are now not behaving like honourable members. Can we talk through the bill and not try to attack one another? If you agree with something, you agree. If you disagree, it doesn't mean that we should talk on top of the roof, raise our voices, honourable members. Can we really behave like honourable members of parliament and not like kindergarten children, you know? Really, this is embarrassing. Can we proceed? And no one is going to speak before I recognize, please. And I think I'm talking to people who are well informed about what I'm saying. Can we really do that? Can we respect one another? It doesn't mean that we have to agree. We can disagree. But there's no need for all this halabaloo, you know, shouting at top of our voices. And I think there was a proposal that was made to this committee, and I think this is what we are going to be talking to as to after it has been maybe read to us, and then we are going to say whether we agree or not, and then maybe we'll have to go to vote if we don't. Can I allow the legal advisors to take us through, please?
I'm not sure what the committee was. I mean,
there was a proposal.
The proposal was on the board now. The inclusion and then covering under the existing clause 9.1 of the bill. 72. And then covered under the existing 9.
Here we are, this is the amendment. Are we all agreeable to the amendment? I will see that by show of hands. Remember, we deleted the 7.2 clause, which is the one we are here about. And it has been deleted, replaced by, covered by 9, subsection 1.
Covered by 9 subsection 1, that's the constitution. Seven subsection
2. And then we said it is covered. We are saying it is covered by 9 subsection 1. Remember,
We support the deletion because at least it's not specific to political parties.
Is this not specific to political parties? Is that what it is? Do we understand correctly that this does now not apply to political parties?
I was going to say, Unai is saying what it means. So there's no way that you must say it's taking whatever. 9, it's covered. Whatever we wanted in this bill doesn't take some people or others. It covers everybody. Other members? Let's not have many meetings instead of one meeting. No, I think I'm just proceeding with my meeting. I think we have agreed on this, and we shall now move. Are you hearing the machine? Yes. Now that you've been there over the last three meetings.
Yeah, last week. Wednesday and Wednesday. Mm. The sharing income. I'm actually surprised no one pushed anyone out. We could.
Thank you.
Tomorrow we will come with a report, and then we will, after going through floor by floor, which I think we have already done, but we are going to do that as a procedure to make sure that we agree with what is in the bill, and then we will adopt the report tomorrow. Can we reconvene then? Can we reconvene? We shall now, for the last time, go floor by floor.
Even, and then the committee can then agree to it, and then tomorrow just come back and adopt the report, and then the committee can proceed.
Yeah.
There's no rule that says clause by clause.
No, thank you very much. You know, this legal rules, they really make us to. Then let us allow you to do that. Can you just take us through page by page? Can we behave in a manner that will allow us to, you know, speed up the matter, please?
First page, the purpose and the preamble. Third page,
just put on record, just for the sake of clarity, that they accept the page with the amendment highlighted on the screen, just so that they can clarify that the amendments are the intention of the committee.
Okay, objective. Accepted with.
Ms. Nun, we do agree with that three division of the green part of it.
Page 10, objective continued. Paragraph B, there's a division and an insertion. Chapter 2, Social Development, Clause 4, under the same page. Page 11, Clause 4 continues. Page 11 again, after 2, health care, including reproductive health, Clause 5, 1, continuing
in page 12.
Each and every clause, almost each and every clause has been amended by this committee. The fact that it's not highlighted, it must be noted in the final version of the bill, which is only reflecting the recent changes proposed by the committee. But it doesn't mean there were no changes which were made in the earlier debate. So almost each is amended each and every clause. But it's saying there's no amendment in clause 5, whereas it has been amended, so it's agreed as amended throughout. Economic empowerment.
socio-economic empowerment of women with disabilities, not 12. Chapter 4, Government, Powers of Ministers, Sources in. Continuing in page 21. Page 29, schedule 2. scheduled to continue to stay
here. It's still there.
Thank you.